Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers of the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. You can go to the websites, JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. JackieCation.com has DorkForest.com. It has the audio links. It has the video links to my YouTube. It has all of my dates for stand-up comedy. It has all the merch. It's got Dork Forest merch and stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs if you have those devices. Other things you can do, Bandcamp. There's a Bandcamp with the very old episodes. Some of them are free. And then there's a storytelling album that you can get on my Bandcamp. And I'm on Pandora and Spotify. It is 2025, and feel free to start donating to the Dork Forest. Yeah, cost me about 10 grand a year to put this up. If everybody donated $100 every year, if everybody just handed me $100 every time they saw me, or PayPal, Venmo, then I would have, I think, about 10 grand. I don't know, but I would have enough money to run this and probably buy myself lunch. And I'm a big fan of doing the show. I'll do it anyway. But if you have $100, send me $100. If you have $2, send me $2. You can do it monthly on PayPal. There's buttons all over my website. And my Venmo is just my name. No hyphen, Jackie Cation. I'm wearing a red shirt. Let's get into the show. Hey, it's me, Jackie Cation. I'm in my home, and powerhouse comic from back in the day, still working, still writing, new album, Susan Rice, Portland comic. Welcome to the program.
Jackie, God love you, girl.
That was the intro. That was your intro.
It was very sweet. It was very sweet. I am
a week from today, you have a new album coming out called Silver Alert.
My first album.
Your first album.
42 years, first album.
Wow. Okay.
I know. Not exactly.
My dad is
ambitious.
Like, oh my God, she's leaving money on the table. Susan Rice's Instagram and TikTok is at funny old bag. Funny old bag. Get it?
Yep.
Because she's not super young.
Nope.
Me neither. Anyway, Silver Alert, hilarious. So 40 years of stand-up comedy. Your favorite 45 minutes is on this album?
Well, it's the one I could remember. 45 minutes of stuff I could remember is
sure.
on that album.
Did you go into the vault?
Because it all, I don't know if you've understood. This last year I got asked to do, you want the long story? Because it's
sure.
just, okay.
We got time before we get into the
I know,
thing.
I have nothing. I know. I wish I was more of a dork.
It's a cross that you bear being so cool.
Back in 2003, the Don't Tell People, I done the Don't Tell shows in Portland for years.
Right.
And one of the kids, Brent Lowry, who runs the Don't Tell, good comic, great guy, called me up and said, hey, and he actually used the phone because he knows I don't text. And he calls me up and he said, I want to submit you for a taping for Don't Tell. And I said, no. And he said, why? And I said, because it's not my scene anymore. It's your scene now. This is your time. I had my time. I just want to stay relevant enough that I'm still getting my little, you know, $200-$300 gigs and I'm happy.
Okay.
And he said, no, I want to submit you. And I said, they've never filmed anybody. You're just going to get turned down because they've never filmed anybody my age before. And he says, well, I think that could work. And I go, no. And so I said, thank you, honey, but no. The little person that he is, the goofball, submitted me.
Yeah, he submitted you anyway.
And then I get this email from the owner.
Kyle.
And he wanted me to do a gig in November. It was like, that was like 2-3 weeks away from the time that this conversation took. I said, no, I can't. And he says, well, Brent said you say no. And I said, no, I can't. Actually, I have a contract. I'm doing a corporate. I can't do it that day.
Okay.
And he went, oh, you're a working comic. I go, yeah, I am. Yeah.
So anyway. Brent didn't really sell you.
Well, he was, yeah, anyway.
He tried, but he should have said, she's working the road all the time and she does a lot of corporates.
Yeah.
But you should, okay.
So then I did say yes, and I filmed it in January of 24, the 20th of January, 24.
You do one of those 10, 15 minute gigs where they film it real nice?
Yes. And it was a powerhouse lineup, sis. You wouldn't have won. I didn't want it. Derek Strope opened. I would had to follow him. And then Kyle Kinane was on. I mean, it was.
He had to follow you, sister, no. is what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm telling you, I was sweating bullets. And there was, anyway. So I got a knee replacement, got the tape the day I got my knee replacement to edit. I was like, I can't do this right now. Anyway, on March 11th, they loaded it up and they put it on their website. And on YouTube. And by the 15th of March, it was over 1 million people.
Oh, yeah.
And then went. And then AGT called 2 weeks later and I said no to them.
There is a pattern.
Yeah. And then they said no. And they said, well, if we can get you on. I said, no, you'll have to be. I wasn't going to jump through all those hoops, Jackie, all those different producers.
Same. They asked me to do it too. And I was like, it turns out I just want to do stand up. I don't want anyone to care at any level besides this level. This is the level I would like to care.
Exactly. And then they said, well, you'll be in front of the celebrity judges. And I said, well, I don't know. And they said, well, we're almost at the end of the season. Would you consider doing next year? And I said, no, I'm 72 years old. I'm not putting anything off. Are you kidding?
I'm not putting anything off. That's the name of your next album. I'm not putting anything off.
Exactly. So anyway. That went really well. And then, my life changed. And, then I got approached by Jack Vaughn and I said no to that. And, but I did do AGT and I had a great set, except for it was really bizarre.
Yeah.
Very bizarre.
Yeah. Did you do Last Comic when it came out?
No, I didn't. I never.
So you didn't know any better. You didn't know that AGT was just going to be like that and put a bigger fucking deal.
I actually kind of did because I talked to so many comics. But the thing about it is that you're supposed to have some kind of anonymity when you first walk on the stage. And this was literally less than a month after my YouTube thing, after Don't Tell.
Mm-hmm.
And 1,200 people stood up when I walked out.
There you go.
And that scared.
It means that you should be doing more than $300 one nighters.
Well, it was, I almost wet myself. And then I was so scared. And then, I mean, and I think, but Erica Rose did it the same day I did. She did an early show. I did the late show. And her set, she was so good. And she did go, they did choose her to go on to the live sets.
But, are you allowed to tell me that?
No, sure. No, this is already done. That season's over. That was 2024.
Okay.
So since 2024, things have changed in my life.
Sure.
I'm back on the road.
Yep. You're back on the road. Are you getting better money?
Yes.
There you go. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what it can do. That's what it's supposed to do, right?
Exactly.
It's supposed to create a buzz that makes people want to go see you. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay. And so now you have this new album, Silver Alert, coming out a week from Tuesday. And by the way, buy the album. I always say this, don't just stream it. Susan Rice will make more money.
I'm worth the $6, damn it.
You're worth the $6 to $10 that it costs to buy the entire album. And so they're going to play it on Sirius and Pandora and Spotify and all the things.
Yes.
Is it squeaky clean?
Well, I am not a blue comic. I don't
know. No, but, me neither. But their definition of blue on Sirius XM is very different.
There's language. It was a lot cleaner than the Don't Tell. So there's some language in it, but sure. I'm sure I'll get bleeped on whatever they want to bleep me on. But
sure.
No, I'm not, you know,
you're signed up for Sound Exchange, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And,
it should be at least low headliner money every month, 1 week of pay.
Well,
that can't hurt.
From your mouth to God's ears. Okay.
If you're lucky, and with Jack Vaughn being the guy who produced the album, it should play more than my albums. Because my albums, I get about 1 week of pay a month. And I have seven albums out.
Let me tell you something to those of you. I've known Jackie Cation. We're not dear friends, but I've admired you for so long, and she's the most, and you can ask any comic in the business that with their weight that's been around for 20 years, who's the most prolific writer in the business, and they will all say Jackie Cation.
Oh, that's very sweet. I don't.
And that's really true, and that comes from Dwight Slade and Tom McTeague and Dave Anderson used to say it. I mean, you are just prolific, and that's so awesome.
I appreciate it.
And they should buy your albums. Everybody buy your
right,
albums.
Right. But my new albums, my albums run every 3 to 4 years. So
well, as opposed to like 42, sis.
I know. Well, I think I'm 40 years in as well. I mean, yeah. I started in 84. So
yeah, you're only a year after me.
That's it. So
wow,
you'd think
you're baby.
We should be further along. Anyway.
But we're no quitters.
We're no quitters. But let's talk about what you dorked out about. Let's do that. We've already eaten 10 minutes talking about stand-up comedy.
Because I don't know if I have enough talking about my dorky
stuff. Because this is something you would have thought I would have watched this program, but I never did.
Well, I don't think this is your genre. I don't think this is what you tend to go towards.
I don't know. It's Downton Abbey, you guys. I think Rangers of the Dork Forest are like, Jackie Cation has never watched Downton Abbey. I love Maggie Smith. I love Room with a View.
I read
historical romances. You would think Downton Abbey, and I watch all those British murder mysteries.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. What's her name?
Miss Marple.
Yeah. Miss Marple, but the other one, too. What's her name? Anyway, what's her name?
There's thousand of them.
Yeah, but they're, I like them because the Benchley Street, that's a really good one because that takes place World War II. And
Bletchley Circle.
Yeah, Bletchley Circle, the one that breaks the code.
Yeah, Bletchley Circle is set in the awesome. Late 40s, early 50s. I've saw that.
Well, yes. And they went into the 50s. They started during World War II. There's two of them.
Right. There's the Bletchley Circle where they solve the Nazi codes.
Right.
And then afterwards they solve a serial killer crime.
Right.
Her old friends from Bletchley Circle, they can't tell anybody because of the Secrets Act.
And it's just awesome. And that, you know, is that woman kind of that, and that I watch all the, I'm a big Jane Austen. I like.
Right.
Sense and Sensibility.
Did you ever watch Foyle's War?
Favorite. Loved him. And I just, you know, I was always amazed at how they could replicate those war
scenes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, this costs millions of dollars to do.
Right. Because Foyle's War also set during World War II, but it's also another home front kind of thing.
You do watch this. Okay, great.
Right. Because here's the thing about the British home front World War II stuff. I love it because that's where right now, currently, I'm finding my hope.
Yes.
And two, they always end with the Nazis losing. So those are two things that I'm enjoying at this time in my consumption.
Exactly. And, you know, it does. It gives you, it's that I can't watch any more news. I can't watch any more.
No. So, and but Foyle's War, because he's so cool, the cop.
Yes. He does it begrudgingly.
Right. Because he wants to do something for the war effort.
Yeah.
But then, of course, he realizes.
But his son is in it and he's worried about his son.
Right. His son's an RAF.
And he doesn't trust the powers that be to do the right thing.
Right, because there's still wartime grift, and there's still wartime people getting away with stuff.
Exactly.
Did you watch all the seasons of Foyle's War?
Yes. Well, I don't know if I've watched all the seasons because I think my subscription ran out. I think the last season, I don't know if I saw the last season.
Well, because the war ends.
Yeah.
And then they want him to join MI6.
Did they go on with that? Did they?
A little bit, yeah. Because do you remember the older lady, the skinny old lady?
Yeah.
She
was so good.
She was so good. I don't want to give it away. Spoiler alert on a 10-year-old show. Not willing to go there. You should totally watch the end of Foyle's Wards. I think it's 9 seasons.
I know. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to break down and finish the whole. That gives me something else to watch. I've watched Ted Lasso about 9,000 times. I have to go to Happy Things sometimes at night. I can't go to bed.
For sure. For sure. But the weird thing is that some of this stuff are like murder mystery stuff. And for some reason, because they catch the bad guys, it's positive, right?
Right. And I love Vera because she's cranky like I am.
Okay.
And
I've never watched Vera.
Oh, Vera's good. Vera's good because the way that they've written it, you get to the killer moments before she does.
Okay.
It's really interesting because you kind of go, and then like a minute later, somebody goes, "We found this." She goes, "Yes, I know." And I'm going, "Yes, I know too."
How many seasons are there of Vera?
There's about 13.
And is she a cop or is she just like?
She's a police officer. Yeah, she's, what do they call them? Constable?
DI?
DI. She's a DI. Yeah.
Inspector?
Inspector.
It's
General,
a detective inspector or detective.
Yeah.
It's a, did you ever watch Endeavor?
Yes. Jackie, this is so awesome. I thought I wasn't a dork. I love this.
Yeah. It's a terrible cross to bear when you're too cool.
Endeavor was another one that.
Because they did the time period so well.
They did. And they, the costuming on that. And I will say I did watch, the Witches one with Matthew Good and
the Witches one?
Yeah, it's they might be witches.
I think I remember it was about three women.
It takes place in she is a witch and he is a vampire. He's a vampire.
What? A witch and a vampire are solving crimes?
They go, I mean, it's amazing. They're trying to find the DNA, why a certain species of, there's demons, there's vampires, and there's witches, and the demons are dying off, and they don't know why.
What?
And Matthew Good is, I don't know if it's Goody or Good, is a scientist at Oxford.
Okay.
And that's his specialty, but he's lived thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And Jackie, you've got to watch the something of witches. I'll look it up. I'm so sorry.
Okay. It's a,
Conspiracy of Witches.
A Conspiracy of Witches. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just all of a sudden I'm looking down going, how do I look up Matthew Good, vampires and witches. And so it's not a,
it's a series. It was a BBC series.
Okay.
And it's a, it's fabulous.
A Discovery of Witches?
Discovery of Witches. That's it.
Four seasons?
Yeah. There's 4 seasons of it. It's really well done.
Wait, Forbidden Love between a witch and a vampire?
Yes. Forbidden. It's forbidden, but it's
forbidden,
pretty hot.
Susan.
It's pretty hot.
It's pretty hot. After an ancient manuscript is uncovered, pitting them against supernatural forces, vying for its coveted secrets.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay.
That is a good one.
It is on Acorn. So welcome to me watching Discovery of Witches.
Discovery of Witches, not a Conspiracy of Witches. that's a good one. And it gets a little, it's violent, but it's not.
Okay.
It's magical.
Did you ever see, now here's the thing, is to find a show in this genre, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. or in this kind of thing. The prolific, talk about proliferation. So many. There's so many. They're like, there isn't even that many murders in all of the UK. And yet the murder series are enormous.
I know. Even Father Brown. There's a murder of Father Brown.
My mother-in-law watched all of Father Brown in the 2.5 years that she was with us. She also watched all of Poirot and all of Dr. Blake. And then she finished Dr. Endeavor Blake. And then went to Morse. And
Morse
she
is,
liked
Morse is great though.
And then Pie in the Sky.
Didn't watch Pie in the Sky.
Pie in the Sky is great. But here's the one I want to ask you about. It was made during lockdown by five actors, British actors, who pooled their money and made a weirdo show called Madame Blanc.
I didn't see it. I think Madame Blanc, there's
a reason they don't have the budget of an Endeavor. Or a beat, but they got picked up and there's 3 or 4 seasons of it because the first season they made themselves in just some small town off of Italy and they're pretending it's France.
Wait a minute. I think I did see part of it. Yes.
She's an antiques dealer.
Yes. I started to watch it and I don't know what happened. Oh my gosh.
You should commit a little bit because you get to know all of the characters very well because there's just the five of them. And it's literally just a bunch of actors were like, let's put on a show. It's like when comics put on their own show and then you think that you've gone to dinner and instead you're at a comedy show. But
you're in line at the buffet and all of a sudden there's a comedy show.
But then you don't know.
I've been there.
It could have been the funnest. Then you might have the most fun. You don't know.
I know.
Yep. And I will say, Madame Blanc, I have warmed to these actors. I have warmed to these characters. I am completely on board with Madame Blanc.
It sounds like a sophisticated Doctor Who. I'm not sure.
It is a doctor. I mean, there's also like weird Chelsea detective. Have you seen that with the guy with the bike?
There was one that Netflix picked up that was not BBC, but it was made out of Tanzania.
Oh, wait. Oh, right. It was the African one?
The two gals, well, they're not African. They were Australian. It was Australian, New Zealand. But
wait a minute. Are you talking about Deadlock?
Yes. I love that show.
I have gushed about Deadlock on this program many times.
I love Deadlock.
Deadlock is, and just to remind Rangers, picture, if you will, a murder mystery show shot in northern Florida, where half of the town are rednecks and the other half of the town are lesbians.
The whole lesbian thing just killed me. It just kept going. The whole town was they were having a lesbian festival. It was hysterical.
The mayor was gay.
Oh,
it was a lot
God.
Of that.
It was so bizarre and so funny. It was.
How about Jane Seymour, Harry Wilde?
No, I haven't. No. Is that a good one?
That's a good one. And there's another one called Signora Volpe.
Okay,
which is set in Italy.
I'll never get out in front of the TV set. I can't.
And there's also, what was the other one? There were the Thursday from Endeavor.
Thursday. Oh, I love him though.
He's in one that's set in Italy, where him and his wife, they're like diplomats.
Cool. I do like him. He's a great actor.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, he's a great actor. He was. He had a part in Foyle's War too at one point.
He did. As did. The guy who played the superintendent from Foyle's War.
Yes, yes.
He was in one of the early Foyle's Wars.
And he
was a curator.
Right.
A museum curator guy.
That's right. He's been in millions of things. During Endeavor, he was always smoking. He smoked so much I thought, how does this man even breathe?
Right. The guy who played the supervisor guy is currently in the new Star Wars show, Andor.
Oh, he would make a great, scary,
terrifying Nazi guy.
Yeah, he's
a terrifying Empire guy. I've decided, by the way, if I ever meet an ICE agent, I'm going to say to him, you're a little short for a stormtrooper. Fuckers.
You are so...
And then I assume I will be punched in the face. But so be it.
Oh, God.
So, but here's the thing. So Downton Abbey was going to be your actual...
I know it was because I was.
You've
it was
seen a, it a lot.
It was a knee jerk thing when they asked me what's your, and I couldn't think of anything except for what have I watched a lot? And I went Downton Abbey. I've watched a lot of Downton Abbey over the years.
Do you usually restart it?
Not right. Yeah. I mean, I've watched it once this year. It's a lot of the time during things that like you think, okay, I just can't find anything that I really want to watch.
Right.
Or I get to a point where, like, everybody loves White Lotus, but I got to White Lotus and went, I hate all these people. I don't want to watch
this. Oh, my God. Chris, my mother-in-law, rewatched Gracie and Frank and Gracie like that.
I did like Frank.
Yeah, yeah, that was great. Grace and Frankie. That's it.
Yeah, Grace and Frankie.
So, but Downton Abbey, what year does that start in?
Downton Abbey starts in the early 1900s.
Okay.
Late 1900s, just before World War II.
Two or one?
World War One. And
there's fancy aristocrats and fancy and not fancy people who are cleaning things?
Yeah, it's a story of a family that owns this, that basically, you know, back then it was kind of a feudal existence. They had this, they had the big home, the manor, and then this land that fed the village and all, right. You know, this kind of thing. And so they were responsible for a lot of the people in the village and they were the centerpiece. And they were lords and ladies and
landed gentry or whatever.
But it was coming to an end. It was, the 1920s pretty much, but it was hard after that, after World War One, excuse me.
Does it start before World War One and kind of go through World War One?
Yeah, it starts just before World War One.
So like sort of like a bunch of the dudes go off to fight World War One?
Right. You get the sense of how this family lived their life, and the women had to find a husband. It was all about finding the daughter's husbands and running this manor and dealing with the dowager, who was Maggie Smith.
Oh, so
and
great.
She was hysterical. And,
oh, really?
She had the best lines ever. I mean, they gave her... she says, her counterpart says, oh, I love it when you compliment me. And she says, oh, I wasn't aware I did. I mean, it's that kind of thing. But, she's the matriarch. And then, but there's this backbiting sisters, and one is the sweet one, and the other one is it's just they fight about losing the woman, the wife of the Crowleys is the family. The Earl of Downton Abbey is had to marry a his father lost a lot of money.
Did he have to marry an heiress?
He had to marry somebody with money, and he married an American.
Sure.
And so
poor thing.
Yeah, and I wish I knew all the actors' names right off the head, but I can barely speak my own name. But I'm terrible at that. But
no worries.
It's so she brings a whole different perspective to how, because she was raised, she was nouveau money,
right?
And this is old money, and all the lords and the Brooks book and all the stuff.
She's not as classy. She's like a vulgar American with a pile of cash that they had to marry.
Yeah. She's not vulgar at all, but she's sensible.
Okay.
They cast her
as not vulgar at all.
No, she's not vulgar. She's very much, you know who it is. It's, okay. Never mind. I should just bring this up on my phone.
Don't worry about it.
But it's her mother is played down the line in like the third season. She's introduced is Shirley MacLaine, who is an American heiress who is kind of like Molly Brown.
Right,
you know,
right.
She was. They were new money, and so it's all very. the wife has adapted to the lifestyle, but it's her money that's keeping this estate afloat. And when he loses, he loses his money during the crash.
Oh, right.
They have to bring on, he has all daughters and they cannot inherit.
Oh, right, right. So he has to find them all husbands.
Because
whoever
cousin.
Inherits is going to kick them all out of this abbey.
Right. And Dan Stevens turns out he's the cousin that they notified that he is, because the Titanic went down and the heir apparent was drowned in the Titanic going down. They have to go to a distant cousin and notify him that he is now.
He's the heir.
He will inherit. And so he has to up his life and move to this village. And he's a solicitor.
Okay.
And there's a clash between the oldest daughter and him, who obviously turns out they don't clash down the line. They fall in love.
Is it Lady Mary Crawley?
It's Lady Mary Crawley.
So who's Lady Sybil Crawley?
Sybil Crawley is the youngest one who falls in love with a chauffeur.
Oh, how radical.
Yeah.
And Cora Crawley?
And
Countess?
She's the one that, yeah, Cora Crawley is the, yeah, that's, she's wonderful. Cora is, that's the, she's married to the writer and the producer of Downton Abbey.
Oh, Elizabeth McGowan or something?
Yeah, McGovern.
McGovern?
Mm-hmm.
Edith Pelham? Edith?
Edith?
You know a character named Edith or
yeah,
Thomas
Edith,
Barrow?
Yeah, that's a sister. Okay. Yeah, Thomas Barrow is a footman that aspires to be the head butler, but he's a sneak and a liar.
Oh.
And so he's kind of hated in the lower area. He's in the downstairs area. He's always plotting. He's an excellent actor. And the kitchen staff. I mean, it's all, you just get involved with this whole family.
Well, who's John Bates? Is he the current butler?
John Bates is fought in the Boer Wars with Lord Crowley.
Okay.
And was injured, and when a position of his valet came, he applied for his valet, and because Lord Crowley felt bad for him and knew him as a great warrior, hired him as his valet, but he had a hard time walking.
That was his plot twist?
But therein lies the, you know, there's the, now they're, the downstairs has to accept somebody who's not able to do all the work. And
He doesn't have all of the motor skills to actually like press his clothes or do whatever.
He limps.
He's got a limp.
But he's very handsome. And Barrow wants his job. So he goes after him and starts rumors about him. And
Barrow wants to be the valet or the head butler.
Yes, he wants to be the Lord's valet or the head butler. Yes.
So he just wants to move up a very limited chain of command.
And he's gay.
Oh, and Thomas Barrow is gay.
Thomas Barrow is gay.
Secretly gay, because you can't be gay back then.
You can't be gay back then, but I'll tell you, the
does it work out for him anyway? Does he get to be gay?
They bring in a lot of the he has some conflicts. It's kind of interesting that the way that they wrote it, about how people did accept it, but everybody knew it existed, but the government, it's very similar.
Right, it was
similar
a don't ask,
happening.
Don't tell kind of thing.
Yeah. It's very similar to what, I mean, I grew up with that whole idea of, you know, it was available. Everybody knew that was around.
It was sexuality. Sex was available, you guys. When Susan Rice was a child, hopefully not as a child, but the whole time, people were different kinds of sexy.
Well, you know, there was that funny uncle that had a friend.
Right. And the aunt that had a roommate forever.
Right.
So Robert Crawley was the Lord and Violet Crawley was his mom?
Violet Crawley, yes, was played by Dame
Maggie
Smith, yes.
How about Tom Branson?
Tom Branson was a chauffeur.
Oh, okay.
And Tom Branson ends up marrying Lady Sybil Crawley.
Oh, there you go, the youngest sister.
But there's this tension, obviously, and later on, it's very sad. Is this a spoiler alert? I guess it's been around so long, I can just say it.
Right. Well, so long has it? Were there like 20 seasons of it?
No, there's only six seasons.
And there were big cliffhangers kind of thing, right?
Right. There was cliffhangers at each season, but.
Let me see. 2010, there's 5 seasons.
Okay. So there's 5.
So.
I thought it was 6.
And so it goes from, does it jump in time from like pre-World War I to post-World War I?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you go into.
Because 1929 is 11 years after 1918, which is when World War I
yeah,
ends.
They end the war and then they go on. And then there's the rebuilding of the structure of these great families. So many of them lost their money because they didn't invest. And you kind of go through this whole, how are the Crawleys going to save Downton Abbey?
Okay.
How are they going to save it? And how is that going to do? And when Mary Crawley ends up marrying her distant cousin, Matthew Crawley, he comes on with different ideas of how to farm the land, how to be more productive, how to put in more, you know. And so it revolutionizes and they're able to sustain Downton Abbey.
Another generation of farmer-owned.
Yeah. Right. And then there's the the sister, the middle sister, who's problematic. I'm going to cough, Jack. Sorry. Has a vendetta against her older sister and they've been fighting their whole lives. There's a Sybil marries and then Mary marries and then Edith is trying to find her own way and falls in love with a married man.
Oh.
Who's not able to marry.
Kemal Pamuk.
Oh, that was a handsome guy that came to for a fox hunt.
Oh, the Fox Hutton guy who
and
came
died, and died. At the
oh,
house.
And died. There you go. Isabel Crawley.
He died in Mary Crawley's
James
bed.
Jimmy Kent.
Yeah.
Gwen Dawson, Patrick Gordon.
Yeah, these
Gordon.
Are all seasons. Yeah, that was the first one was first season. Yeah, they have all these different, they introduce all these different characters.
So who was the cook? Was it Mrs. Patmore?
Mrs. Patmore was the cook and she
she's got to be a rock.
She had her own storyline, and the Daisy, her assistant, had her own storyline. She became she had been orphaned and had no education, and in the course of I think the third or fourth season, she became aware of life outside the kitchen and became educated.
Okay,
and so she became a little rebel, and she was. And she and Mrs. Padmore were, there's all these, that's the thing is that they did some serious deep development of each character.
Right. They each had in own. Only 5 seasons. And how long are the episodes? Are they an hour and a half or are they an
they're
hour?
They're at least an hour. They're an hour.
Okay.
I think the finales are an hour and a half.
Okay. Cause yeah. That's the thing about some of this British television is that it ends up being an hour and a half and you're like, all right, I thought this would be 57 minutes. I have to go to bed.
It's Julian Fellowes. I know. It's Julian Fellowes who developed it.
Okay.
And there's going to be another, they're not going to do another season, but they are going to do another movie. They've done 2 movies after the season. There will be a third movie that will end Downton Abbey. That will be the final ending of Downton Abbey.
And then it splits up and becomes a boy's home. Probably. But it looks like George Clooney did a guest.
Not yet. I think that's new.
Marquis de Hollywood, which is interesting because George Clooney with a British accent is something that sounds painful.
It does sound painful. Yeah, I don't think that that's, I don't remember George Clooney in it yet.
Okay.
I think it's coming.
It must be coming. Have you seen both movies?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Several times.
Several times.
You know what I love, though, Jackie? I don't know if this is one of your things, because we were talking about sets and stuff. I love watching the detail that they put in. But the costuming is unbelievable. And the set designs. The set decorations are phenomenal. It's like Bridgerton. The costuming in Bridgerton is unbelievable.
Right, right. Well, you know, I'm doing a joke about the three of us watching Bridgerton, a variation of this happened. My mother-in-law, the three of us, it was a sexy scene.
And there are some sexy scenes.
And my husband said to his mother during the sexy scene, he said, "What do you think the historical accuracy of this program is?" And then I wrote a punchline, you guys. So come out and see me live doing stand-up comedy if you want to hear the punchline.
So hysterical.
It was pretty funny.
Oh my
but he
gosh.
Did ask that question, and that is very
funny. How uncomfortable funny. Is it to watch a sex scene with your mother?
With your mother just sort of just sitting there. Mm-hmm.
Just hoping she took her medication.
Right. Did you ever watch Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries?
Yes. Oh, God, yes, yes. I love that costume. That costuming was unbelievable, too.
Right. That was beautiful because that's Australian.
Yes.
And I actually read all the books.
Oh, I'd love to read the books. I loved her.
Yeah, there's like 27. The woman who wrote them just died. Wrote her, I think, her 30th book.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they've got a young Miss Fisher series coming out.
Yeah, it's not as good. And if you can, avoid the movie. Because there's only about three seasons and you want more. And if you want more, read the books. Don't go to the movie because the movie is painful.
Well, that was like Harry Potter too. If you read the books, you get so much more depth. You know,
For sure.
There's another
murder mystery show that I always recommend whenever I have someone on talking about this. Uh-huh. It's a New Zealand one called Brokenwood.
Why have I heard of that? You've seen how many seasons is that?
Well, that one's nine, and the first three are pre-COVID lockdown.
Oh.
And then one of the main assistants goes away. He moves to London to try. The actual actor moved to London to see if anybody cared, and I don't know if they have. But I wish him luck. And so they got a new assistant.
Yeah.
And now they're nine seasons into this thing. And I think it's now called Brokenwood Diaries. They
is
just
it on,
changed
is it. On, is it on BritBox?
It's either BritBox or Acorn.
Okay, I'll look at both. I'll look
Brokenwood.
At both. Yeah, yeah.
There's another one. Here's something that's on PBS. There's two things. It's called Royal something Doctors. Royal Outback Doctors. Royal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The RAF doctors.
Yes. And there's only two seasons of that. And that is essentially St. Elsewhere, but with an Outback airplane.
Do you remember China Beach?
Oh, I do remember China Beach.
That's one of the shows that has never gone into syndication.
Really?
And I don't know why. It was so good. But I think here's my theory about it. Because it was shot during Vietnam. I mean, it was supposed to be Vietnam.
Right.
And I think it's a trigger factor.
Oh, interesting. They had MASH, though. Why wouldn't?
The MASH was written during, it was supposedly the Korean War. I don't think we had the repercussion of what was happening with the people coming back.
China Beach, not available for streaming.
Yeah. No.
Very sad.
That was a great show.
Can you get the DVDs?
I don't know.
I assume you have a DVD player.
I do have a DVD. I have a DVD and my VHS one still works.
Do you have a VHS DVD combo?
I don't. My television is a DVD combo television though.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I know. I know. I know. I know.
I set my dad for his birthday a money clip that said there's always money in the banana stand. which is a joke from Arrested Development. But I've never watched Arrested Development. I only saw the first season where the banana stand joke happens.
Right.
But I couldn't do it because the guy who plays the dad in jail reminds me of every dirtbag my father ever introduced me to.
Oh God!
So I can't, like, I can't do it. But so I sent him that paper, that that money clip, and then I sent him the first season of Arrested Development. And I said, you only have to watch the first episode if you want to get the joke. And don't worry about it if you don't want to get the joke. And he watched it in, he binged it because they took away his driver's license 6 months ago.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he's got some free time. He's seen the Rifleman. So,
oh my God. Wagon Train.
And so he watched the entire first season. So I sent him the second season, which I just talked to him yesterday. And he was like, oh, I've watched it. He's like, I know more about this sitcom than anybody. How many seasons are there? And I said, I get it. Third season coming. So yesterday I ordered from Thrift Books because I'm not ordering from Amazon anymore.
I order from Thrift Books all the time.
Yeah. And it was $4.50 for season 3 DVD of Arrested Development. Perfect. He will eventually get to the season that has Maria in it. And he loves Maria Bamford.
Of course. Who doesn't?
Right.
But that's great.
Yes.
Eventually, you just got to go. Keep watching, Dad. She's coming. Keep watching.
She's coming. So anyway, but the so the ones, like, if you've seen Deadlock, so here's the one that's on.
There's supposed to be another season of Deadlock, but I haven't seen it come out.
I know yet. It's supposed to take place in Darwin, I think, up north. But here's the crazy. If you get to PBS, it's a spinoff of Foyle's War. But there's only 2 seasons and then they didn't make any more, which is genuinely, but there are books and I have bought 3 of the books. I have not read any of them yet.
This is when he's in MI6.
No, this is a parallel story, sort of Ender's Shadow to Foyle's War. Okay. It's called, Home Fires. Home Fires is great. If it's sort of it sounds like it's like a Downton Abbey Foyle's War mashup for you.
Well, Home Fires is with the women that are left behind.
Yeah.
No, I've watched it. It's great.
Oh, you saw
it. I didn't know it was a, I guess it would have been. Yeah. I never put it together that it was a kind of.
Supposedly there was some sort of, one of the actors from Foyle's War, but I've watched it twice, the seasons.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I've never recognized, but.
I love the women. I love those women in that. And I remember, because I know, Jackie, I'm much older than you, but my mom and dad went through World War II. And my mother.
Were they in the service?
My dad should have been, but contracted type 1 diabetes 2 weeks before he went in. He was going to go in as an officer. He was ROTC'd.
Okay, but they tested him for diabetes and they were
my mother,
you have diabetes.
Yeah, he didn't
you
go.
You can't go.
No, he couldn't go. And he was really upset. But the deal is that I remember these conversations about we had victory. My mom and dad had victory gardens. My grandmother had a victory. And they called, from then on, any vegetable garden that we had was called a victory garden.
I have a victory garden. Right. I've always called it a victory garden because when have we not been at war?
Right.
So,
and I don't know if it stems from World War I.
No, I believe it to be World War II.
I believe it was a World War II thing, but my my mom went through World War I also. My mom was born in 12.
Right. My dad is 88. He was born in 37 or 38, something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah. See, my folks were much older, and my grandparents were born in 1874. My grandparents were born in 1874. Yeah.
Where did they come from? Were they always here?
They were Irish. They came from Northern Ireland. Their parents came over and went to Canada. So they were Canadian, and then they married in 1900.
Oh wow!
And my grandfather was working for Frederick Weyerhaeuser, the original Weyerhaeuser.
Okay.
From Weyerhaeuser's timber mill, and he was working in the woods for him in Manitoba and northern, just above Wisconsin. And then They wanted him in the States, so he moved his family to the States.
Huh.
And
weird.
So they lived in Minnesota.
So you could get citizenship in both Canada and Ireland.
Well,
legally.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, but both my grandparents got their American citizenship.
Right, right. So. But there's some sort of, my sister was looking into, because if you get Irish citizenship, you could, like, I could do stand-up anywhere in the EU.
See, you've done stand-up in Ireland.
I have done stand-up in Dublin.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it was. Well, was it fun? I did okay until I made fun of my own sort of Irish ancestry. So then I did well, but it was just okay. And then we went to Iceland. I did stand up in Iceland. I'm going to London. I'm doing a show in London on July 23rd.
That's so awesome.
And that'll be fun. But so Rangers, if you live anywhere in Europe, I guess, fly to London for my June 23rd.
That's
it's at
awesome.
Either the Bill Murray or the Angel. I forget. I think it's at the Angel. It's in Islington. Sort of attached to London. I don't know if that's actually
now,
in London.
Tell
or
me this, because we don't get to talk comedy too often. I'm so sorry to your listeners, but I'm so when you travel, like when you do those shows overseas or in Europe or whatever, do you have your openers and do you have anybody else on the show with you? And if so, do you use the talent from the area or do you bring someone?
I always use the talent from the area. Because I don't have that kind of money.
I think that's, but I also think that's wonderful. Okay,
right,
so go.
Right. Because everybody needs stage time.
And they bring their people.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and like I'm doing my new album and special in Portland, where Susan Rice is from. Susan Rice.
Are you at Helium? Where? No, you're.
No, I'm going to do it at the Siren. Which is a small black box theater.
Really small.
Yeah, very small.
Okay.
That, do you know what that means? I can fill it. And it has a vaulted
Jackie
ceiling.
Would have
so,
no problem. I did Joe Dombrowski's show there.
Yeah. It's a, but the, I'm hoping to fill it and do two shows that night and film both of them. So that
you'll do great. It'll
and
do
then,
great.
But that's, set. But everyone should know that Susan Rice has a new album out a week from today called Silver Alert, May 13th.
Yeah.
And she's at Funny Old Bag on Instagram and TikTok. Is there a SusanRice.com?
There is a SusanRiceComedy.com. And it's
comedy.
Brand new. And I've redone my website. And shout out to Erica Stacy, who did it.
Oh, good.
And SusanRiceComedy.com.
That's great. So you can go see her. So in November, I'm going to do a new special. In July, I'm going to be in London. But
so excited. That's great, Jackie.
Those are the two things I'm doing. And then your AGT aired yet?
No. I didn't. I just did the audition in front of.
The fancy people
in front of the judges. And then there's 250 people that made it through. And there's only 55 slots that they can do to go to the live shows that started in August. This was all last summer. And so it's over and done.
Right, right.
But it was fun. It was fun.
Okay. Okay.
It was fun. It was.
And here's what I like to say about those things. And now it's over.
And now, exactly. And that's how I felt when I walked away. I went, well, that's over. I don't have
dodge
to
dodge that
in.
Bullet.
Yeah.
I did the thing that you, and I love that you said no first. And then you're like, all right, fine.
Well,
but,
I got a manager who kept telling me, stop saying no. I went, okay.
I would like, here's the thing. If I could say, do I have to care?
Yes.
Because if I could show up wearing my given up pants and a hat and just try it and then give me the 3 minutes you're going to give me.
Yeah.
Sure.
Can we do it in my living room? That's
right.
What I want.
Do I?
I don't want to.
Are you
going to
send a town car? Because that's what I also need.
I don't want to leave the house. Yeah, those are all of those things. But the thing about it is that you have this too, because we've traveled so much in our careers. But and home is our greatest journey. but once we hit that stage,
then it's fun.
Then it's that's
then I mean, it's that, all worth it.
That's what it's done. That's what it is.
That's what it's for.
And
right?
You get to talk to people after, and they tell you these stories, and they tell you how much that you're having you make them laugh meant to them. I mean, and you kind of go, okay, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Right. There's some sort of point and purpose to all of
this.
Yeah. It's, and especially now, I was telling Lori Kilmartin that I consider us,
tell her hello. And I love her special.
Excellent. Excellent. I told her that I consider us essential workers at this time.
That's true. Do you know, when this all happened, I know that you were nervous. My social security is on the line. All kinds of stuff is on the line. And I thought, what's going to happen to stand up?
Oh, yeah.
But historically, entertainment has always not thrived, but has always sustained because people need that break, that emotional break. They need to step out of the crap and come and be normal for an hour.
Right, right. And that's why I have the driving jokes and the mother-in-law jokes, you guys. I also have some rage-filled jokes about guns. Anyway.
I love your stuff. You always make me laugh. And I love the stuff about your dad. Your stuff about your dad always makes me laugh.
It's true. I told him.
And the paintings.
Oh, my God. They've continued. He has two new paintings, you guys. Anybody wants a swan?
I'll take it.
Here's a fox. Anybody wants a fox?
He's good, though. He's not that bad.
No, he's not that bad. And people really like the sort of the whimsical ones.
Yeah.
Better than the ones where he puts them to, like, there's a really cool leopard.
You would have
to want a painting of a leopard or a painting of a swan or a painting of a fox.
You have to feel like, okay, this is where my freak flag flies. I'm just going to get this and hang it up.
I mean, if you have a painting of like Chris, this is Chris's old room, right? Chris passed away in October. And she wanted a steamboat. Because she's from Mississippi, right? So she wanted one of those old paddle boats.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Okay. And she got it.
She got it. She liked this one, which is
That's
just a nice scene.
I like that too. I don't think that's great.
That's a nice river one.
Yeah.
And then
can Megan Jackie get up and show me all her artwork.
That's what this entire episode is deteriorated.
That's okay. It's okay. I mean, it's not okay for your, I hope your listeners forgive us.
But. Right, right. No, I think that they're on board. But then she wanted this paddle boat.
Okay. Well, now that's bizarre. That's a little bizarre, but it's kind of cool.
Right, but she wanted it. And he was like, I'll pay a paddle boat. What do I care? So,
I think it's great you have your dad. I think
that's
great.
I do. That's what people tell me. So I'm watching a new, we got to go, but I'm going to tell you, there are several, there's new ones that I'm watching.
Okay. I'm writing them down.
Well, Signora Volpe, I think you would really like, and Harry Wilde.
Harry Wilde, I've seen, I think I've looked at it and went, I'm not a big Jane, what's her name?
Seymour.
Yeah.
Okay. Well then Signora Volpe is essentially Jane Seymour light. Give that a shot.
Okay.
And then, but the new one I'm watching is called Vienna Blood.
Seen it.
You saw it?
Yeah.
You know what I love about some of these things? It's sort of like Murdoch's Mysteries, where they're set in like weird times and places.
Yes.
So it's different. It's different. It's different. Then all of a sudden, oh, it's the same. All of a sudden, wait, they're at the circus and there's
like,
been a murder.
It's like, did you see Holmes and Watson or the, what's the name of it?
I saw Sherlock with Cumberbatch.
No, Cumberbatch. Yeah, it was amazing. But this one picked up after he was actually retired, after Sherlock was retired.
Oh, one of the older?
And it's not as old as they played the other one with Sir Anthony, what's his name? Watson and anyway, and it's only like four episodes.
Right. But did you see Total Zero?
But I think Vienna Blood was really short too.
Yeah, Vienna Blood is only two seasons, I think, or yeah, if yeah. that.
Yeah.
And no, then.
No, I haven't seen Zero. I started watching it, though. I have started watching it.
Because there's only three episodes, and each one is only an hour. We finished that the other night.
And Angelica Houston, I love her.
She's good in everything. She makes everything
she's
better.
Amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
Here's the other Australian one.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Murder.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Murder are here's the weird twist with them, besides them being Australian.
Okay.
They're the cleanup people after a murder.
My niece did that.
And then does she solve the murder? Because that's what they do.
No, that would have been much better. That's amazing. Okay, I'm going to watch
And the chemistry between the couple
is good.
Is really, really good. Really good.
Okay. All right.
So,
it's on my list, Jackie.
All right. Susan Rice, thank you so much for doing The Dork for us. This has been a lovely hour.
Thanks a lot. And good luck on you. I'm so excited. You're so prolific and your albums. Go buy Jackie's albums.
I'm so psyched that you have an album. Go find Susan Rice at Funny Old Bag. It'll be in the notes. Everything will be in the notes. But
thanks a lot.
You're welcome. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?